gentlemen, sit right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Welcome to the show, folks, as we kick off, officially kick off, that is, Veterans Day week. Of course, Thursday is officially Veterans Day. But I saw a couple of veterans today, and I didn't wait till Wednesday. I wish them a happy Veterans Day right there today.
Amen.
I hope you folks will do the same. And please keep our veterans always in your thoughts and prayers, but, of course, especially on Veterans Day. All right, welcome to the show, as I say. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you once again as live as we can be on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Coming to you once again from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not ever forget, for the very best in Mercury Free Dental Care, call my dentist, who I'll be in the chair tomorrow morning, at 407-678-3399. Dr. James E. Hardy, who's also the author of the book Mercury Free, will take good care of them choppers for you. All right. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is Aubrey Kahn.
Well, good evening.
And he's in the driver's seat this evening. And you can give us a call if you want to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands tonight. It is Monday, so we will be having Abe Katzman join us here shortly. However, he won't be coming to us from Jerusalem. Tonight he's going to be coming to us from New York City. So Abe will be joining us, as I said, shortly. And then John Barros, who's already in the studio area, in the studio complex here, he's going to be joining us a little bit later on in the show as well. And he'll give us an update on the great things that he witnesses downtown in one of the darkest parts of town, so to speak, and only because of what goes on there, not who lives there. And once again, don't forget, 1 week, that's right, just one short week from today, will be the Pizza Eating Challenge. And we had the pizza guy himself in studio last night. Pasquale Barba sat in on the show with us, and it was a whole lot of fun.
It was a hoot.
And he always comes bearing gift cards to Cafe Positano, and he gave out a big old fistful of them last night. And so you see, folks, you need to be listening on Sunday night. You never know. By the way, you can hear that show after tonight's show. Nick will have it up on our archive in our website. Or is it on our website? Whatever. Anyway, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com is that website where you will find that archive. And, of course, you can also sign up for the American Adversaries Army right there, too. And we certainly appreciate it, all you folks who have done that. Okay, once again, 1 week from tonight, the pizza eating challenge at Cafe Positano. And if you'd like to make a reservation for that night or any night for that matter, you can call them at 407-774-8080. And we're looking for, once again, a big crowd and a lot of fun next Monday night. And Pasquale said last night, what we're going to do is they're going to start off, each contestant, and we got about eight or nine of them again, they're going to start off with an 18-inch pizza. Should they get through that, then they're going to get a 10-incher.
Oh.
And only after that will they go to the slices, all right?
This is the case of diminishing returns.
Yeah, so but we're going to do, of course, a live remote broadcast there, and Mike will do the play-by-play as the contest goes on during the show, and Dr. K will be there for some color commentary. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and I do hope that you will come out and join us for that. Once again, no cover charge. Just pay for what you eat and drink. And if you have 20% off coupons because you're a member of the American Adversaries Army, you can certainly take advantage of that. If you have won a gift card, you can certainly use that night as well. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Aubrey's going to be there.
I am working on it. I am planning on it. I am starting to get my stomach ready for it.
Oh, are you going to be in the challenge itself?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, I thought you were going to be a judge, but that's all right. Hey.
I'll judge the pizza. The proof of the pizza is in the eating.
All right, indeed it is. And once again, we got a great competitors, but if you think you're up to the challenge, just give us a call here at the show, and we'll see if we can set you up a plate.
I think everybody's going to beat Reggie.
I don't know. He says he says he's been working on his technique.
He had his technique down with the pasta contest.
We're going down there Thursday night. We'll see it. He's going with us, so we'll see if he's going to go do a little warm up or something like that. But gonna be a lot of fun.
Give him a salad and stick a fork in him. He's done.
That's right. And we'll have a raffle drawing. We'll have some door prizes, and we'll have some great entertainment. So I certainly hope you'll come out and join us one week from tonight. All right, and before we get really rolling here, the candidates are coming to town. Now, tomorrow night is the next debate, which will be in Milwaukee, good old Milwaukee. I wonder if they'll serve them some old Milwaukee. But they'll be in Milwaukee, the first debate, the lower-tier debate, the undercard match, if you will be starting at 7, which is a little bit later than what they had been doing. Once again, this is on the Fox News Channel, not Fox, but the Fox News Channel, where they have Stuart Varney and Maria Bartiromo and that crowd. And
hopefully they'll have better questions than yes.
Yeah, well, they've already said, though, that they will be asking, for instance, Ben Carson about this hoopla over his autobiographies. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but it's supposed to be about economics. All right, so we'll see how much economics they talk tomorrow
CNBC
night.
Was CNBC also supposed to be about economics?
Supposed to have been, but it sure wasn't, was it? And so the main card, the main act, if you will, begins at 9 o'clock. And once again, that's on the Fox Business Channel. That's tomorrow night. Then they're all coming to town. You know, it's like Santa Claus, you know.
Yep.
Marco Rubio is coming to town.
He could skip down.
Senator Cruz is coming to town. Donald Trump is coming to town. All right, so Friday at the Rosenshingel Creek at the Sunshine GOP Summit. I think I'm saying that right. Maybe it's the GOP Sunshine Summit, but it's something like that. SunshineSummit.com is where you can get tickets. No, excuse me. Go to AM660TheAnswer.com to get tickets. Fox Business, not news. Right. Yeah, that's right. The debate's on the Fox Business Channel. Right. It's not the news channel. And it's not the local Fox. It's the Fox Business Channel. All right. And so of course, I'll be watching it, so if you can't see it, I will definitely give you a review. But once again, then the candidates are coming to town on Friday. Let's see, Rubio's going to be here, Cruz is going to be here, Trump's going to be here, Carson's going to be here, and one or two of the others are going to be here. The following day, Chris Christie and the rest of the gang are coming into town. So Friday and Saturday, they're all coming in here. We will be there, and yes, we will be there live, contrary to rumors being spread by some other ill-informed, shall we say,
radio station.
I wasn't going to say it. Thank you for saying it. Yeah, we will be there. We will be live. I'll be there all day Friday and Saturday. Aubrey's going to be there with me all day Friday. And we'll have some other American adversaries. Rachel Cohen's going to be there with us all day Friday and Saturday. Kathy Santomassino. Lucas Paris is going to be there. So we will be getting, we're working hard to line up interviews. We haven't gotten any commitments, but we have gotten some very positive responses from Trump. Trump, Huckabee, Christie, and I know I'm leaving somebody out here. Lindsey Graham have all given us very positive responses. We're working on the other ones. The only one who has outright said no is Carly Fiorina. So we won't be having an interview with her. We do know that, but we're working very hard to get interviews with all of the other candidates. And once we do, and plus we'll be doing our show there live Friday from the summit. Aubrey and I will be there to host the show. And, of course, you can join us by phone as well. And you can be there. Go to am660theanswer.com to get your tickets and get them now. All right. And then once again, one last thing. On Friday from 2:30 to 4 p.m., Ted Cruz will be at the Faith Assembly of God Church, which is at the intersection of 417 and Econ Lockahatchie Road. If you go out 50 and you take Econ Lockahatchie South, you can't miss the church. Big, huge, beautiful church. Cruz will be there 2:30 to 4 p.m. It is free, but you do need a ticket. You can get that ticket at Eventbrite. All right, that's Eventbrite. All right, so now we got all that stuff out of the way. It's almost time for Abe Katzman. But before we get rolling along, Ben Carson is still fending off questions. And as I said, he's going to have to face some of that music tomorrow night. One of the moderators has already said that things that are in the current news cycle must be brought up. So they're going to bring all of that stuff up, I guess, with Ben Carson. As I said last night, you know, if Ben wasn't expecting this, he should have been expecting this, regardless of how. And notice how I didn't say irregardless; I said regardless. Did you notice that, Nick? All right, he gives me the thumbs up. Regardless of how they treated Barack Obama, you know they're not going to treat the Republican candidates with the same kid gloves.
Which brings up another thing: Ben Carson hit another first as far as milestones are concerned with elections.
How so?
He is now the first black presidential candidate to have had his college records scrutinized by the media.
Touche. Which is what he pointed out to the media Friday night. He had a feisty news conference with the media. And it was. And we saw.
I love the way he took it to them.
A different side of Ben Carson. He was fighting back. He was feisty. And he was almost believable that he would stab somebody. But
let me go by the knife.
All that aside, he does make a great point. You know, you didn't give Barack Obama, even today, you don't even want to know about his college
records.
They
give him a pass on everything.
Everything. But he's still going to have to answer these questions, at least in the debate tomorrow night. Perhaps he can put it to bed, so to speak, at that time. We shall see. All right, we'll take a phone call, and then we're going to take a break to go to Abe Katzman. But let's go to Rick on the line right now. Rick, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Always a great show.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, recently Hillary had her greatest day ever by telling one of the biggest lies ever and repeating it frequently to the family members of those brave men who died in Benghazi.
Right.
And with Carson, obviously, you know, it's a totally lopsided situation because with Carson, the possibility that there's a discrepancy, however minor it might be, is a big issue.
I know it. That to me is the most telling thing of all, is what you just brought out. And I was thinking about this the other day. Here's Hillary Clinton. She sits up there in that Benghazi committee and pretty much just brags about lying. When you get right down to it, you know, she was just proud of what she did, right? And she was caught dead to right in a lie, a very significant lie. And we still don't know really. At least we don't know for sure exactly what's going on, not just that day, but the lead up to it. Talk about really serious lies, and then here all these media are like a pack of wolves on this man over some things he said in an autobiography that really don't amount to a hill of beans when you think about it at the end of the day. And maybe he was enhancing what happened a little bit, but I don't doubt that he had altercations as a young man. His mother talked about it. And by the way, they can't interview his mother now because she has Alzheimer's disease. But in other interviews, she talked about how he was a wild kid until, you know, he got settled down. And so you're right, Rick. It's there's no comparison in the magnitude nor the severity of the lie. If even if Carson did say something that wasn't true, you cannot compare it to the out-and-out, cold-hearted lie that Hillary Clinton perpetrated on those families and the rest of us, and still perpetrates. So you're absolutely right.
Thanks, and keep doing your job.
All right, thank you, and keep listening. We appreciate you being out there. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Abe Katzman live from New York City. Skyscrapers and everything. Did you ever hear that Stevie Wonder
tune? Not to mention pizza.
New York style. That's right, folks. Spread the news. It's time for Abe Katzman coming to us live from New York City. So let's go right to him. Abe, thanks for being with us tonight. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for giving me a theme song. Next week I'll be in Seattle. We'll see what you come up with for that.
All right. Well, we'll have a week to work on it, so yeah. we'll surprise you.
Yeah, the theme song from Sleepless in Seattle.
There you go. All right.
Now, what are we going to do when you're back in Jerusalem? Now, that's the question.
Yeah, that is Aubrey Kahn. Abe, of course, you know me. And first of all, the prime minister came over today and had a meeting with Barack Obama. Do you think came out of that? Have you heard anything, any news reports?
Yeah, the news reports are that this actually came off rather well. The Prime Minister Netanyahu says that everything was friendly, that it was unpressured, and that it wasn't, I think his words were, like a debating society, like some of the other meetings that the two leaders have had in the past. Israeli press has been dissecting the body language of both Obama and Netanyahu. And even though they've come to the conclusion that both looked a little bit uncomfortable, I think what's more important is what actually comes out of the meetings. And that seems to be encouraging from an Israeli perspective. The White House did not pull the rug out from under Israel. They made statements that indicated that everybody's now on the same page. They didn't dwell on the issue of Iran. They didn't dwell on the issue of settlements. Really, the focus here is on the aid that America gives to Israel's military. And that is, there's something called there's a Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU. And the first MOU, the previous MOU, which was signed in 2007, gave Israel approximately $3 billion per year in military aid, most of which, by the way, has to be spent in America. So it's the money, in a sense, does stay in America.
Okay.
But I think that the Israeli defense establishment has been maintaining that a lot has changed since 2007.
Right.
Not the least of which is, thanks to the president in large part, the Iranian threat.
Correct.
And that now Israel needs to boost that figure, and they're asking for $5 billion a year. It remains to be seen whether the president is going to sign on to that or not. But at least there was no public rejection of it. We'll see what actually ends up happening, but at least they all came out smiling and looking more like allies than they usually do.
Well, it sounds like something that Obama would most likely go along with. This is just me speculating, because he this would be sort of his way of making up, if you will, for getting that Iranian deal done, and wanting to make the other parties in the Middle East area feel a little bit more secure in the face of the deal.
Yeah, I think that's right. Then again, I think the perception is that the president is not above being small and petty and vengeful. And if he wants to, take some parting shots at Israel's prime minister, then he might. Who knows what he might have up his sleeve. But for the moment, at least, it looks like things have been at least papered over.
Yeah. I would think at some point Obama's got to start looking at the election next year and Democrats' chances, you know, if the relationship is still sour with Israel, of perhaps losing some of the, you know, normally left-leaning Jewish vote. And perhaps that's coming into play here, too. But regardless of the motives, at least they're more or less on the same page now. I did hear one clip where the Prime Minister Netanyahu said that, you know, we reserve the right to protect ourselves, and the president more or less agreed with him.
Yeah, that was, you know, I think that was good, and I imagine that that was coordinated beforehand, and that's a good sign. There were other indications from the White House that not everything is perfect. On the one hand, the White House made statements that they see no prospect for peace or peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians in the coming months, but they still went out of their way to say that both sides, it was up to both sides to make confidence-building measures. and they just cannot seem to escape this, this moral equivalence approach when it comes to...
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. The American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show is the show. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer, are the stations. Christopher Hart, Aubrey Kahn, and Abe Katzman are the talents on air right now. Abe coming to us from New York. Abe, the Prime Minister, is he going to do anything else while he's in the United States? Does he have any other meetings set up?
I actually don't know. I'm not sure what else is on his schedule.
Okay. All right. And so the meeting went as well as could be expected today. Meantime, White House announced that, or at least the news broke, that Russia is delivering those advanced anti-aircraft missiles to Iran as per the Iran deal. Do you suppose that came up at all?
On the one hand, it probably did, but on the other hand, I don't know that there's anything that anybody is really able to do about it at this point. I don't know that the actual delivery began. I saw statements that the Russian defense contractor says that the agreement has been finalized.
Okay.
And that, but you know, this story keeps on. It's going to happen. I just don't know exactly what happens at which stages. In the meantime, by the way, I saw that Iran is demanding reparations from the United States for killing, either directly or through U.S. proxies, 250,000 Iranians since the time of the Iranian Revolution.
Well, why don't we just drop them another bomb?
Nice. We should sign another deal with them.
Yeah, really. 250,000.
I don't know where they get that figure. Maybe they consider the casualties from the Iran-Iraq war or something.
Or the potential children that might have been born.
Maybe.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and this is on the heels of the Ayatollah last week saying that their chants, death to America, don't actually mean death to America. It means death to certain American policies. Have you ever heard any sort of nuanced chants like that?
Yeah, well, that reminds me of, in the wake of the Oslo Agreement, Yasser Arafat was, I believe, in South Africa. And this was just days after signing what everybody considered, this peace agreement with Israel. And he was in South Africa, and he said, "We will proceed with jihad, jihad, jihad." And then they asked him about it, and he said, "Well, I mean a jihad for peace." So, a lot of these guys can get away with saying anything. They're just unaccountable.
But then, of course, the unfortunate thing is they're inciting violence. At the end of the day, they're actually, this is not just, chanting just to, get it off their chest. They are actually inciting violence. And
not only that, but they haven't finalized the nuclear deal. From their perspective, it's still an open document. They're making additional demands, and you know, saying that they're not going to finally approve it unless the sanctions are lifted immediately and permanently. They're putting additional restrictions on inspections. I mean, you know, everybody here thinks it's a done deal, but in Iran, they might not even end up going through with it.
wouldn't that be ironic?
Well, the thing is, they know that the negotiators that we have, Barack Obama and John Kerry, they think more highly of their abilities than they ought to, because they're just going to cave and give in to Iran and with whatever they want.
Yeah, that's certainly been the pattern so far. I mean, what of, you know, from what America wanted in those negotiations, what did America get? I don't think there's anything that they came into in terms of their list of demands that they ended up getting.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only thing that's going to make them finally finalize the deal is if somebody like Trump or Cruz or somebody gets elected and they okay, now we're done with it. Okay, it's a good deal now. We don't want anything else. Let's just stick with this. I can hear him now. But really, while Barack Obama is president, why not keep going after more things, right? You know, I mean, yeah. If he's going to continue to cave, just keep asking. So I guess you can't blame him for trying, right, Abe?
Yeah, maybe it's like the, you know, like going back to 1979, 1980, when they held the American hostages in Iran. And as long as Jimmy Carter was president, they continued to do that. But the minute that Reagan was inaugurated, they let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this were a repeat of that of sorts.
Well, it might take us giving them a demonstration of our power before they would capitulate.
I think it would be...
I would say a smart bomb right over the Khomeini's house.
I could go for that, but I can imagine if a Trump or a Carson, a Trump or a Cruz, or even Rubio, for that matter, would be elected president, that they would think twice about wanting to ask for more. They would be happy to get keep what they got. The violence, we still see reports just about every day, another stabbing, somebody gets run over, a shooting, or both, or all three. Abe?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is still going on pretty much every day. What was sort of interesting was Friday, there were shootings and car rammings in the city of Hebron. And one of the reasons that's significant is there's a religious element to this.
Isn't there a tomb there where
that is exactly right. The tomb of the patriarchs.
Okay.
And in this is the week that Jews all over the world in their synagogues read the Torah portion where of the story of Abraham making the purchase of this particular cave to be a tomb for him and for Sarah and ultimately for Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Leah. And, you know, that was you know, this is sort of the story of the original right to this bit of land. And a lot of people, there are a large numbers of from the Jewish community come to Hebron and celebrate that particular that particular week. So the fact that there was this particular flare-up is interesting, but that's where everything was taking place. Since then, it's spread out. You know, it's in different places. A couple of attacks have even been caught entirely on video, and they're very disturbing.
I can just imagine. It's still my feeling that there's some sort of coordination going on here, that there's some sort of planning and that this is going to continue for some while. Is there any thought or consensus of that in Israel?
There's no sign of it ending, at least. You know, the fear is that it starts to get a lot worse.
Right.
But even as, you know, it's a very strange thing to try to go day to day knowing that there are going to be a couple of stabbings or car attacks or shootings. And it happens, you know, it starts to hit home a little bit. It's not always in someone else's neighborhood. Today there was, or yesterday actually, there was an attack on a security guard in a town that my sister lives in. And that's already, you know, it's not a big town. And this, you know, it, like I said, it's not always in somebody else's backyard.
Right. And, of course, the more it occurs, the more places it will occur. And once again, to get back to the White House's reaction is both of you need to tone this down. I mean, they need to speak directly to Abbas and the other leaders in that region and say, look, you know, you need to put a stop to this. You're making it hard on us to get, you know, get tough with Israel or something. Just use any excuse, but they need to lean on the Palestinians.
Well, there's, like I said, there isn't any accountability, and there never has been, and I think they're counting on the fact that there never will be.
Well, at least not with this president.
Nobody, you know, they don't treat the Palestinians like grown-ups,
right.
Like responsible adults. It's like they've got a completely different standard for what constitutes civilized behavior for them.
Yeah, well, similar things going on here with the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. You know, we're not treating people who are acting very immaturely the way they should be treated. Let's move on real quickly, Abe. The Sinai region is now, with this downing of this Russian jetliner, appears to be more and more problematic.
Yeah, this is an area that ISIS, or an ISIS affiliate that calls itself the Sinai Province, has really taken control of, or at least control of a lot of it. The Egyptian military has been fighting them, but they seem to have a pretty free hand in a number of places. And if they were able to pull off this you know, airline bombing, that's a pretty big deal.
Abe, let me ask you a question, though. I was under the impression that the Sinai is mostly barren, sort of desert land, and it would seem to me to be hard for a group, especially a large group, to sort of hide out there. Am I totally wrong?
Well, it's not. Most of it is not flat. A lot of it is like mountainous desert.
I see.
And so there actually are, I think, easy places. I think it's easy for people to operate. But there are also towns up and down the coast. You know, it's a peninsula. It's got a Mediterranean coast and a Red Sea coast.
Right. It would seem to be prime real estate for resort action.
Yeah. Well, some of it is. Yeah. There's some beautiful, beautiful areas there on the Red Sea coast.
Wow.
They've infiltrated, there's enough ideological infiltration of the population there that it's a problem. They've really got a lot of ISIS sympathizers, and ISIS has found it an area that's, you know, really ripe for their own operations. On the other hand, Egypt today claimed that it killed one of their leaders. So that might be, I don't know how that'll change things, but it might stir things up a little bit. And there are also a lot of reports that I've seen that say that Egypt, America, and the UK have been relying on Israeli intelligence when it comes to all this, all the operations in the Sinai, and that apparently it's the Israelis who came up with whatever evidence there is that this airline was brought down by a bomb.
Mm. All right. Let me change the subject one more time. Vice President Joe Biden was in Orlando last week and spoke to a group of Reform Jews. First of all, what is Reform Judaism? What does exactly that mean?
It is a strain of Judaism that kind of broke away from mainstream Orthodox Judaism back in Germany, started back in Germany. It kind of stripped away a lot of religious observance from the religion, and made Judaism more about, strictly about ethics and morals, and not so much about observance, commandments. Israel, actually, which now, again, the Reform movement has become much more Zionistic, but originally, ideologically, they kind of separated themselves from it and said that the religion no longer needs Zionism. We no longer need a Jewish state.
Right.
Would
you consider them to be more, say, liberal or progressive?
They tend to be. They are a very, I mean, it's not anything inherent in the ideology, but the, in practical terms, they are politically very, very left-wing. Somebody once, I remember, described Reform Judaism as being the Democratic Party with holidays.
Okay. Well, the vice president was very well received there this past Friday, which made me kind of wonder about that. And he gave a speech which was basically, you know, Obama's been great for Israel and Jews. Did that get any media coverage that you know of in Israel? I know you're in the United States now.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with the Israeli press. They noted it. Israel, you know, the administration has been making this claim for a long time, but I think that the people in Israel have heard enough of it and kind of tune out when the president or vice president go on and on about how wonderful they've been for Israel. The people in Israel recognize that there has been tremendous security coordination at the Defense Department levels, but they also know what kind of, you know, that there's been this effort at creating daylight politically, at kind of hanging Israel out to dry and sort of signaling to Israel's enemies that, you know, it's open season politically and diplomatically on Israel.
All right. A couple of political questions before we let you go here, Abe. First of all, what do you think about the dust up over Ben Carson and his autobiography claims? And did you happen to catch Saturday Night Live, and what were your thoughts on that?
I only heard snippets of Saturday Night Live. My reaction, you know, Trump seemed to do fine, but I didn't think that what they, you know, the bits I heard were all that funny.
They weren't. they were not.
Maybe I missed something.
No, you didn't. You didn't. The best part was his little opening monologue, and then when he did this little dance tune number. But the skits were just, I don't know who's writing these things. I could do a whole lot better, and I'm not a comedy writer.
Yeah.
Well, real quickly, what do you think about Ben Carson?
You know, the Carson thing is a political hit job, but that doesn't mean that it won't have some lasting effect.
Yeah.
I think that it is something that will hurt him more in the general population than it will among Republican voters. I think Republican voters understand it, have made it a point to look at what he said. And I don't think that they think that there's very much there. But the perception is in the wider electorate that, you know, he's made up stories about his past.
One last question, and I'm going to ask you for a question that I can ask someone else. This weekend, all the candidates are coming to Orlando for something called the Sunshine GOP Summit. We're working to get interviews with as many of them as we can. We've only been turned down by Carly Fiorina so far. The others have been giving us pretty positive responses. If you were to ask these candidates one question on behalf of Israel or something you would like to know, what would you ask them? And I'll ask them for you.
Thank you. Well, I don't know that it's the most important issue for most Israelis, but for Americans living in Israel, there's an issue about a law called FATCA, which basically requires foreign financial institutions that have U.S. citizens as clients to disgorge all kinds of confidential information to give to the IRS. And you could ask them what their stance is on FATCA and if they believe that it should be reformed to spare the Americans who are living abroad, people like me, from this sort of it's very intrusive. And the foreign financial institutions, a lot of them don't want anything to do anymore with American citizens. It's just too onerous. So that's something that they could look into.
I think I remember.
Sure, that's not quite what you were looking for, but okay.
No, that's all right. I think you wrote an article on this a while
back.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, well, we'll ask him. How do you say that again? FATCA?
FATCA. FATCA.
Okay, that's what I thought, FATCA. I'll definitely ask them, Abe, on your behalf.
All right.
And
let me know what they say.
I will. And you have a great time, and we'll be talking to you in Seattle next time.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and travel safely.
Take care.
And once again, that is Abe Katzman, and you can find his work at his website, abekatzman, that's with an S, .com. abekatzman.com. We'll be right back. Charlie Daniels tribute to Vietnam veterans, and certainly they didn't get the welcome home they deserved, and we need to make that right. I know we've got the Vietnam War Memorial, we've done things along the way, but I don't know, the way we treated those vets when they came back,
it was a disgrace.
I don't know how, if we can make it up.
It was a disgrace.
It was indeed. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries, a short segment this time because we took a little bit longer with Abe this afternoon because he was coming from New York. I didn't feel so bad about keeping him awake. You know, usually he's from Jerusalem and it's over past midnight over there. But anyway, when we come back after this break, we're going to be joined by John Barros. And, of course, you can join us as well. And don't forget, once again, Wednesday is officially Veterans Day. And I hope you will keep all veterans in your prayers. And if you are a veteran, you are in my prayers. And we certainly appreciate you. And Aubrey Kahn is a veteran of the South African Army.
Yes.
But they're certainly an ally of ours when you were a member of the military there.
When I was, yes. Way back when, the 70s.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
We were all drafted. Every white male was drafted, and you had to serve 2 years minimum.
Is that right? Wow. All right, so once again, Veterans Day. And later on in the show, I'm going to read a little bit of Boone Cutler's book, Voodoo in Sodder City. Boone was in the PSYOPs over there in Iraq during a good part of the Iraq War, and he has some interesting thoughts here after he came home. So we'll read that a little bit later on in the show. In the meantime, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Got Aubrey Kahn in the driver's seat tonight.
Woohoo! And when we come back, we're going to have John Barros.
Indeed.
A hero.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up.
Folks, with the second hour of the show. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for staying with us or just tuning in. We appreciate that too. 407-774-8255 is the number as the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show comes to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. And I'll be in the chair tomorrow getting my old choppers cleaned up. But if you'd like to have some great dentistry, great dental work done to you at a reasonable price by a great dentist, give my dentist a call, 407-678-3399. Dr. James Hardy is his name, and Mercury Free Dentistry is his game. Don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. Okay, as I said, thanks for being with us. I am Christopher Hart. Aubrey Kahn is still in the studio, and we're now joined by John Barros. And, John, once again, thanks for being on the show here today.
Oh, thank you, guys. You guys are amazing.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, but more importantly, we appreciate what you do every day.
Yes, amen.
Once again, folks, if you haven't heard John on the show before, he's a soldier, and he fights for lives, and he does that 5 days a week, pretty much 5 days a week, in downtown outside the Pendergraft Abortion Clinic. What do they call that place anyway?
Orlando Women's Center.
Oh, boy. You want to talk about misleading. It is anything but a women's center. It's a center of evil doings. And what John does is he and other volunteers try to get women who are going in there to reconsider and go somewhere else and think about it. And hopefully save the child that they're carrying inside them. And you have a good deal of success, but you're not alone down there.
Oh, no. No. I was for a long time. For about 3 years, I was there by myself.
Did you ever stop and think that, you know, is anybody ever going to help me, or did it ever even matter to you?
Well, it does. You do get frustrated, but, you know, it was God that called me there, and he taught me so much during those first 3 years as far as trusting him and as far as watching him work. But then he got me into a church here in Orlando, St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford. R.C. Sproul and Burke Parsons are the pastors there.
R.C., yeah.
They encourage people in the church to come down. And now I can say that, believe it or not, there isn't an hour that place is open that somebody from our church is not there.
God bless your church and your pastors for doing that. Wish churches all over the area would do similar things.
Yes, sir.
Because there's always the need, and there's never a shortage of women going to these clinics. One of your volunteer helpers is our dear Samantha, our intern, and our. She used to be our intern until you stole her away from us. But actually, it's a much higher calling. And tell us what happened today with Samantha.
Well, today it was busy. Samantha had positioned herself over.
Now, she brought a friend with her.
Yeah, she brought a friend with her that needed to be in a wheelchair. So she had to stay back off kind of where you normally deal with people. But God in his sovereignty dumped a girl right in front of Samantha, and Samantha began to talk to her and warn her, offer help, tell her that God is bigger than any situation and that he's sent her there today to tell her that he wants to get her to trust him. And after quite a bit of conversation, the young lady changed her mind, and then she went off to over to Choices, and she chose life there and is going back next week for an ultrasound.
It's amazing. These kind of things, they give me goosebumps when you're talking about them, because it just shows the possibilities that are right here in front of us. And oftentimes we don't realize that the power of God is as strong as it's ever been. And you see that every day, don't you?
His strength never goes away an ounce, and he never runs out of resources. He never runs out of resources. And that's what these people need to know.
And by the way, folks, a couple of weeks ago, we were doing a Save the Babies campaign. We want to thank all of you folks who donated to that campaign. But they have kept the banner up on the website, and they're going to keep it there. So if going forward you are moved to help, you can go to am660theanswer.com and look for the Save the Babies banner, and you can still help out. And those funds do go to help out True Life Choice and other pregnancy and crisis centers to provide ultrasounds and to provide the equipment and the staffing and the facilities to have a place that, as John and Samantha and others convince these women to reconsider, they have somewhere where they can go and sort of get the boost, if you will, by getting into professional people's sort of the medical end of it, and they see the child on the sonogram, and it just begins to change the whole dynamic of the thing.
Yes, sir. And then also, they, as I believe the other crisis pregnancy centers that I work with, like in Sanford and Oviedo and then First Life over at First Baptist, they all share the gospel with these girls, too, to let them know that that is the power, the same power that saves people spiritually, saves them in every way.
You and Samantha and others start that process.
Yes, sir.
Of the rebirth, the born again, if you will, and then they get the reinforcements.
Yes, sir.
But that's where you folks can help out, once again, with Save the Babies at am660theanswer.com, is you make sure that those reinforcements are there. You make sure that the things that John needs are provided so that we can help him turn lives around, and you do it on a weekly, daily basis. How often is it that you don't get a girl to come out and reconsider?
It's not very often. I mean, we had one day, I believe it was last Wednesday, that nobody chose life. But God works there pretty much every single day, and on some days, like last Friday, I believe we had, we had two on Thursday, two guys manned up and took their ladies out of there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't happen often, but I'm still holding to the fact that I've never seen a girl go through with an abortion when the man that she loves goes in, puts his arm around her, and says, come on, we can do this. I still have not seen a girl go through with it. Now, if it's some guy just that impregnated her, but she doesn't love, that's a whole nother story. But if she loves him, and if he loves her, you know, there's nothing like seeing, like, this one young man there last Wednesday come out, give the thumbs up, say thank you. And whenever a guy does that also, you will see that they walk away hand in hand. It's really beautiful.
It must be, and
it is.
And it doesn't happen if you aren't there, and you or Samantha and these others aren't there. Those things don't happen.
Well, we sure would never know about them. You know, God isn't limited by me.
Right. But you know, you're talking about saving the babies and that banner, the people can still give. You've got to realize, folks, that every penny that is given stays here in the community. None of it goes out of Florida. It all stays local, and it goes so that people like John can be on the front lines, so that people like True Life Choice can give free pregnancy tests, free sonograms, help find adoptive parents, help with the fees, finding them places to work while they're pregnant, finding them accommodation, providing them with food, because very often when these women choose life, they are thrown out on the streets by their boyfriends, by their husbands, by their parents. And so if you give, it stays local, and it gets put to good use. None of that money goes to waste. 100% is used for what it's destined for.
And once again, that's the Save the Babies banner at am660theanswer.com, where you can continue to make donations. And once again, we thank you who have donated. And John's got a website, whowillstand.net, right? Whowillstand.net. And you can go there and get a little sample of what John does every day. But make no mistake, John is out there preaching the gospel. And it is the word of God that is moving these people. So it is God at work, in action. I mean, how can people say that, you know, that God doesn't participate in our lives or is somehow distant from us or something like that? God's right here, right now, and is working. And all we got to do is tap into it. And that's what you help these young women and men do.
Well, yeah, it's like Pastor Burke was preaching the other week about David and Goliath. Very popular story, everybody knows. But it was God that killed Goliath, but it was David that slung the stone. And that's what we need to do. God works through secondary causes. He works through us. Those people cannot say that God did not follow them all the way down to the gates of hell down there, because he did, through people that God has called to come down there and minister to them.
Right. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking once again with John Barros, Aubrey Kahn, and you, if you choose to pick up that phone and call us.
How many times? How many times?
Three times.
How many times?
Three times.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks again for being with us. That's Aubrey Kahn. I'm Christopher Hart, and John Barros is in the studio with us. Don't forget, if you need a home inspection, call Aubrey, 321-624-0254.
But not during the show.
That's right. But you can call him during his show on Saturday.
Yes.
That's Talk to the Experts, live, 1 to 3, Saturday afternoons.
Yes. And that's why we're not going on the cruise with the American adversaries.
You got to do
radio show. I got to do.
Yeah, we'll be at the summit this weekend. He's got his show to do. Oh, my goodness. We got a lot of stuff to do. All right. In the meantime, we have John Barros with us. And once again, he does, you know, he does the Lord's work. He's one of the Lord's foot soldiers, if you will, working outside the Pendergraft clinic downtown. By the way, he just got arrested recently. Has there been any changes at the clinic down there since he got arrested? Well, and by the way, I'd like you to tell the folks what he was arrested with, if you wouldn't mind. When he was arrested in South Carolina, now, what were the circumstances of his arrest?
Well, first of all, he needs to get money because he has a $36 million judgment against him and against the clinic. So
the clinic that you stand out in front of?
Yes, sir. So he can't get the money, I imagine, that he was able to before. So now, as part of a drug sweep up in South Carolina a few weeks ago, he got caught up in that sweep. And when they pulled him over and they searched his van, they found LSD, Xanax, marijuana, and some other drug for sale. He got charged him for manufacturing and sale. And while they were searching for more drugs in there, they found bloody abortion tools with pieces of babies still on them in his case, in the back that the police had also been looking for what they called a traveling abortionist. And if you look up traveling abortionist on Google, you'll get the story. And boy, when you see the sheriff's response up there, I mean, that guy didn't mince any words, and it was pretty crazy. But now, you know, I really believe, besides this, I believe that we're seeing things drastically changing in his program. I just got word this week that last week the Ocala abortion clinic that he owned has shut down.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, so that's gone. Also found out last week that he also has another abortion clinic over on Virginia Drive. And I believe that they were closed 3 or 4 days last week. And, of course, all those people then end up over at the one where I'm at.
Right.
And he still has one in Fort Lauderdale and still has one in Tampa. But I believe we're seeing things going down, and I just encourage everybody that hears this and knows this to pray, because this place is so unbelievably wicked. I mean, there's no way to explain the things that that go on here, and that's just what we can see. I cannot imagine what people that have worked there have seen.
Oh, geez. Do you think that the sheriff up there is going to try to pursue charges against Pendergraph for performing illegal abortions?
He said he was, but, you know,
he
I don't
need
know.
Someone to come forward, though, probably.
Yeah, I
he?
Don't know how they could find, you know,
the victims,
the people that he did it to.
Right.
They're not exactly going to want to get on national news. And that's how a lot of these abortion doctors, by the way, get away with what they do. Because they can really harm somebody, but yet that girl does not, she's already going to be in misery, and then she does not want it, you know, spread out all over the...
Broadcast it,
yeah.
It's a really sad situation.
There was a girl there last Friday. It was pitiful. She came back, and she stood out in the back all morning long waiting for Randall Whitney, the abortionist, to show up. So Randall... comes pulling in, and this girl is really, really emotional. And she goes up to the door as he's walking across the parking lot to the door, and she tells him, "Randall, we have a problem." He goes, "I don't have any problem." And, you know, you have no idea what this guy's like. And she says, "We do have a problem. I came here for an abortion 4 months ago. And I went in and I had it, and I've gone home, and I started feeling funny, things feeling a little different inside. So I went to my regular doctor, and now I find out that I'm 7 months pregnant."
Oh,
and
wow.
Randall, in his great bedside manner, said, "Get the blank away from me and get the blank off of this property." And then she went berserk out in the back that this would happen, and she would come running up the back to the front, go in the lobby, screaming and yelling, telling everybody what he did to her. Out back, the workers would try and go calm her down, and she'd turn on them like a bull. And it's horrible what happens there. Now, I don't know what could have happened to her. I don't know if they took a twin out.
Right.
I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. But now she's 7 months pregnant and too late to have an abortion. And thank God for that. And then she's, you know, going on and on about suing. But how do you, you know, in the state of Florida, you get behind all the others that are already there. And that $36 million one is actually gaining interest. I mean, it's not going down at all.
Right, right. By the way, what does Randall, what's his name?
Whitney.
Randall Whitney. What does he drive?
It's a little Hyundai, one of the little tiny ones.
Oh, yeah?
It's blue, light blue. No, he's always broke. He's told me that his wife spends more money than he could ever make. But, you know, the Bible talks about ill-gotten gain going through your, like water through a net. You know what I mean? I mean, it's you never get ahead.
Right, right. Oh, wow. Whowillstand.net is his website. Once again, you can help out by going to am660theanswer.com and click on the Save the Babies banner. And, of course, it all starts with prayer, because really that's the operating factor here is God's doing the work, changing hearts. Of course, John is very instrumental in that, as is our dear Samantha and other volunteers. And so once again, please do offer your support in any way that you can. When we come back, John's going to stay here with us. Of course, we got Aubrey Kahn. And don't forget, 1 week from tonight, are you going to be at the Pizza Eating Challenge, John?
I think I'm going to this time.
All right. John will be there. You'll have the opportunity to meet this man, shake his hand, give him a hug. And once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And Aubrey?
Well, I just want to lighten it up a little bit. Do you know why the cows kept returning to the marijuana patch?
No, why?
Because it was the pot calling the kettle the black.
Yeah, she did. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we were just talking during the break a little bit. You know, Vicki Botsford is now the director at True Life Choice. And they just had their banquet. What was it, last weekend?
Thursday night.
Thursday night. And the keynote speaker was?
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz, the coach.
Yeah. So you had a little encounter with the coach. Tell us about it.
Yes. I don't know how he does it. It's probably through the website. If it's not being taken down. But he came up to me and he told me, he said, I want you to know I follow you and I pray for you. And I asked him, I said, you pray for a gator? and he was laughing and he said, well, there's one gator I'll pray for. And it was pretty fun.
How was his speech?
Hilarious.
He's hilarious. But you know what? This has got to be the first keynote speaker that's homeless.
That's right. His house burned down.
His house burned down a few months ago.
He still lives in the area, though, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's out Avalon Park area.
Avalon Park, yeah. He's a fascinating man, and I'm sure most of you folks know Lou Holtz, a famous football coach, Notre Dame coach. He coached at South Carolina. He also coached at several other big schools. I want to say Alabama, but I know it wasn't Alabama. But he's a very successful coach, very successful motivational speaker, and he still does some of the college football game shows. So very knowledgeable man, and I'm sure it was a great event the other night. Once again, you can help out still, though, by going to am660theanswer.com and just click on the Save the Babies banner. John, I know you explained it to me, and I kind of want you to give the audience, if you would, a little bio on yourself. Tell folks how you got involved in doing this. Yours is a fascinating story, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. I'll have to do a quick one, but my pastor, when we first moved here, I was like...
And first of all, John, you came from California.
California, yeah.
You're a very successful businessman out there.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And then I moved out here to try and get away from that culture of what it was becoming. And moved over here to Oviedo and thought I would be semi-retired and do some real estate and that. And that's what I did. And things were going pretty good. And then one day I ended up getting cancer, and the doctor told me, you know, I should get my affairs in order because it wasn't looking good. So that kind of shocked me. And then anyway, I went through all these.
Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, it was, you know, God took me through a season of affliction, and that's where God teaches us, is in our affliction. He's not teaching us anything when we're sitting
high and
watching a football game, as much as I like to do that.
Right.
But he teaches us in affliction. And I ended up getting cancer, had about 4 cancer surgeries after that, a bunch of chemo. They were able to stop it. It came back a couple of times, but they were able to get rid of it. And I just need to get checked every once in a while to make sure that it doesn't come back. And then right after that, I started having some problems. I couldn't get the letter F to come out of my head and onto a paper through a pen. And I didn't know what that was. And my wife, Vicki, thank God for her. She made me go to Florida Hospital. I went there, and they were about to release me, thinking I was having those little TIA stroke things.
Yeah.
And then one lady doctor came by and said, well, I want to do one more thing. So she did a CAT scan, came back and said, we found a shadow. So they ended up taking me in and doing an MRI, and they found a brain aneurysm that was about to blow. It was up in your neck where your carotid artery feeds the two different arteries that feed both sides of your brain. So they did a surgery, and it really messed me up. I mean, I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't even really know who I was or anything for a long time. Memories are still messed up. And depending on who you talk to, a lot of times they tell you it takes like up to 15 years to get back fully to normal.
Wow.
So so I went through that, and then they found another one. And then, you know, by then I was wiped out. You know, no more money, no more anything. And I had to get out of the house as soon as I could possibly get out. I couldn't leave my front door. I was so afraid to just go outside for so, so long. But I ended up going back down to the abortion clinic because my pastor had taken me there when I first moved here, Jim Fitzgerald. And I saw what was going on, and then I saw some people that would go there on Saturdays that like Patty and Allura. And so I got into it. And then when I started getting good enough to go outside, I drove back down to that wall. I sat on the wall, and I asked the Lord, what am I going to do? You know, I just went there to just pray because I had no idea of anything. So what am I going to do? And then he brought this little girl, I'd say 21-year-old, beautiful little black girl. She came over, and I said, young lady, can I talk to you? And she said, sure. And she sat on the wall. And for an hour and a half, we talked about what God thought about abortion and the hope that there is in Jesus Christ and what it means when it says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, that you need to repent, turn, and trust. And that is where it all began, because when that girl, after I prayed with her and she left, I felt this warmth. I'm not a charismatic person, but I felt this warmth come about me that I've never experienced since. And I just felt in the deepest part of me that this is where God wanted me to be. And I said, Lord, if this is where you want me, take care of my family. And he's done it ever since. I've been there now for, I've been there for 12 years, counting when I would go like on weekends and when I could. But I've been there the last 6 years every day, Monday through Friday. It used to be Monday through Monday when they were open 7 days a week. But now I got some dear friends that do it on Saturday down there, so I don't need to be there. But it's been a wild ride. I've got to see things that people will never see, ever. I've got to know Jesus in a way that I could have never known if he wouldn't have took me through through the afflictions that he put me through. And I thank him so much for every one of them. And because there are lessons that you don't get any other way.
It's amazing. Yeah. Most people would be cursing God for having been put through all of that.
No. We cannot curse God. God is sovereign. He controls all things. If there was one molecule, like my pastor likes to say, that was running around on its own in this entire universe, there would be no God. God is in control of everything. Absolutely. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to correct those that are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance and open their eyes that they might see the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will. But it's perhaps God. God is the one. So when we go down there and we preach and we minister to these people, we pour ourselves out into just puddles, literally, and nobody chooses life, that's God's will.
Have you ever had one of the clinic workers come out?
Oh, yeah. In fact, in the last 2 months, we've had 6 quit.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Wow, that must make you feel pretty good, too, in a way,
right? Well, it
does.
In a way, you're right. But not in a way, because I've known these people for years. You know, I see them every day,
right.
All day.
Right.
Some of them buy me coffee. Some of them, even though I know, it's hard to believe. They all love me. They do. And it's, but yet I'm telling them every day, warning them that where their ultimate end is, if they don't repent and turn to Christ. But yeah, just recently, had this one worker, Sheila, who I've loved for years, she pulled up the driveway. I was preaching, rolled down the window, and yelled out, "Hey, John, get over here." And I thought, oh, what's crazy Sheila going to do now? And so I walked over there, and she goes, "I ain't doing this no more. I quit. This is it." And the security guard standing right next to her get just fuming that she's doing this right there in the driveway.
Wow.
And she asked for prayer, and some of the ladies from Ligonier Ministries actually were there that day, and they went over, and we all prayed for Sheila, and now she's gone. There was another lady that drove up and drove in the driveway, and the same thing, sobbing during the preaching, says, "I can't do this anymore, I can't do this." And so they have, we've had several leave, but that doesn't stop abortion.
Right.
Because
yeah.
Unfortunately, they fill that slot the next day, and they don't skip a beat.
Mm. All right, we have Ron on the line. Ron, thank you for calling.
John, you about got me in tears. I live out here by you, and I'm listening to you talk, and... You know, I thought I was like one of the very few workers. The workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful.
Yes, sir.
And I see, you know, the Lord, my mission is similar to yours, but it's a little bit different, trying to witness to people in supermarkets and stuff like that. And I thought I was all alone, you know.
Well, you're not.
Yeah.
First and foremost, of course, you got God with you, God by your side.
I know that.
But
have you seen that commercial by Danny Glover about PBA?
PBA?
No, sir.
Yeah. Well, where you just break out laughing or you just cry when you don't want to cry.
Yes, yes, that's right. I have seen that commercial, yes.
Yeah. So I've had that syndrome, but I didn't know it was a syndrome. I thought it was just the, you know, different things. Okay, I had to take psychology on my own and different things to try to figure out, you know, what's wrong with me and all that. But yeah, Christ, I know, is a great physician. But when you were talking about the aneurysms and stuff, I died 19 years ago twice, which I've said on the air. I had a sudden death heart attack. Today they call it the Widowmaker. But my arteries both got tight about a week ago like that. So you were describing that you couldn't feel any lumps or anything like a clot. Could you? Do you remember?
No, you don't feel anything when you got an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting my heart stopping and failing, and then I'm getting like those feelings in my brain. Like it's not pumping blood to my brain.
Yeah.
I would suggest going to the emergency room.
No, I ain't going to do it.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
Well, John, God bless you.
You won't have to preach anymore.
I'll see you there, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What kind of rock and roll do you play?
Rockabilly.
Rockabilly? Because I didn't get a chance to ask you.
Yeah, man.
Seriously?
We used to call it Southern Boogie.
Southern Boogie?
Yeah.
Did you take lessons in college? Or?
Nope, self-taught.
Self-taught.
Yep, just practiced.
I would like to see that sometime.
All right, well, we want to see you, so take care of yourself, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, God bless you. Right. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate you calling.
Yep.
And... he's not alone. And you're not alone, fortunately, anymore. You got a lot of people helping you down there. If somebody wants to volunteer to help, how can they do that?
Well, they can get a hold of me through whowillstand.net. Or you can make me your friend on Facebook. It's just simply John Barros, B-A-R-R-O-S. That's how most people follow it. Or you can come down to 1103 Lucerne Terrace in Orlando. It's over by ORMC, between City Hall and ORMC. And just show up.
All right. In the meantime, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, John Barros, Aubrey Conner still in the studio with me, Christopher Hart here. Once again, Wednesday is Veterans Day. And on occasions like this, I find myself, you know, words inadequate. Just my vocabulary, my knowledge, whatever, it just doesn't seem to be adequate. So I like to read from people who are more learned in such things. So as a tribute to veterans all over the country from all wars, all branches of the service, including, of course, the Coast Guard, I want to read a little bit each day this week up to Veterans Day. Today I'll be reading from Voodoo in the Solder City by Boone Cutler. Today is September 2nd, 2007. It's my birthday, and my dad is here with me at Walter Reed to visit. He arrived a few days ago. We haven't seen each other in about 10 years or so. My mom sent him to visit as a birthday gift to both of us. It's a guy thing because we wouldn't have done it for each other. That's what phones are for. The last time we saw each other was at my grandfather's funeral. I don't know all the reasons he decided to come here now other than my birthday, and maybe I don't need to know. I know that since he has been here, we've had a few drinks together, watched a ball game, visited the D.C. memorials, and even got tattooed together. Hey, that's a definite guy thing. It was my dad's first tattoo, and he's 60 years old. For a former Marine, I guess he took it pretty good, at least until Mom sees it. I've been to the place where the tough guys go and come out on the other side, Solder City. Since I've been back, I've been through my own brand of mass confusion. I've lost my second marriage as of late, lived through the Walter Reed scandal, and all after getting bussed up in Iraq and still finishing my tour. Starship Reed got me hooked on dope twice. Not like I wasn't willing to go there. Pain hurts. I just didn't know where it was ending up while being isolated and locked away. But hey, stuff happens. And I ain't the only war fighter that stuff happens to. I'm just scratching the surface, so wait for the next book just in case I decided to put myself through this torture again, because stuff is happening to a lot of war fighters, believe me. While walking, I looked at the war memorials around D.C. with my dad. He said that he wondered what type of memorial they might make for the global war on terror, veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. The issue seems strange to me. War memorials are supposed to be something held in esteem, and I'm not sure if my country supports us winning or even participating in this war. I hear people say that they support the troops but not the war, and I'm sorry to say, but that feels a little backhanded, like someone saying, "Black people are great, but supporting the civil rights movement just isn't my thing." There's no way around it, though, and it's okay for us to disagree. We all subscribe to our own brand of ignorance. That's what part of freedom is all about, so I'm just telling it plainly as I can so me and warfighters with the same perspective can be heard. I appreciate those people for being generally kind, and I think most don't understand because the mission is poorly explained to the American people. Hopefully, this book will bring some clarity. Jokingly, I told my dad that the GWAT, the Global War on Terrorism War Memorial, would probably be a big middle finger sticking out of the ground. He laughed and said he thought the same thing after returning from Vietnam back in '69. No doubt Vietnam vets were somehow seemingly hated when they returned, and there was no excuse for that other than ignorance. That time in our history is so much more tragic and embarrassing. Many of those same war fighters that got spit on then when they returned are quietly making sure that we are getting taken care of now. I've heard some incredible stories at the hospital. I volunteered for the war. We all did. We might bitch about some things, but the majority of us would do it again, especially now that we know the real cost of failure. Most warfighters return with a very personal sense of responsibility for the outcome of the war. Most of the injured and many of the uninjured can't help but come home completely different than before the war. Being different doesn't always necessarily mean bad. We are just different. We change. At the same time, some of us are changed because we are hurt. Being hurt and losing a lot of stuff because of it is an issue we could use some more assistance with. Sorry to ask. How do warfighters start over from scratch when at times we can't even think straight? I'm not saying that it's that in a metaphorical sense. I mean it literally. Thinking is sometimes an actual problem, and it makes decision-making difficult. Duh. That's Boone Cutler, Voodoo in Solder City. You know, our veterans, a lot of times the action they see in the war is just the beginning. And as I was reading that, I was kind of thinking of you, you know, not being able to think, you know, and then finally sitting down and praying. And God obviously moved you in a physical way, moved you in a spiritual way, my friend.
Yes, sir. I thank him for it every day.
And as Aubrey was saying, there's a lot of people who are going to be thanking you generations to come, even though they don't know you, because they will be alive because of you.
Well,
because of what you're doing for God.
Yes. Well, because of God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But God is obviously found a soul that he can rely on in you. And, you know, it's just a great honor to have you as a part of the American Adversaries team.
I love being there. I love that general. I love that general McKnight. He is really something else, that guy.
He is Colonel
Danny.
Yeah, who is the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army.
Yep. Huh.
So
I would like to say one thing. We are having Who Will Stand like a get together.
Okay.
Information and to go out to people and all that. At St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So anybody's welcome to come down. You have questions, if you're just interested in what you can do, if you're interested in how it all works, even if you're from another church or whatever, come on down. You're welcome. Try and get some ladies to buy some cookies.
So some little refreshments going on there. All right, that's St. Andrew's Church in Sanford.
St. Andrew's Chapel.
I'm sorry, St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, mm-hmm. And that will be Thursday at 7 p.m.
Yes, sir.
And once again, John, thank you. God bless you. And,
God bless you. Thank you so much. You guys are brave.
Well,
not many stations would do this. Not many at all. I don't know, but...
Well,
you guys are the brave ones.
John, it's a lot easier to sit behind a mic and talk to people than it is to stand in front of an abortion clinic and talk to people, my friend.
I think it depends on who called you where.
Well, God called the right person when he called upon you.
Amen.
And once again, it's an honor and privilege to know you, sir. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be back. McBath will be in the driver's seat with us tomorrow night. And, of course, we want you to join us as well. And don't forget, Friday, if you want to see Senator Ted Cruz, he will be appearing at the Faith Assembly of God Church, 417 and Econ Wauquatchie Trail. Go to Eventbrite to get your free ticket. And we'll be at the Sunshine GOP Summit. You can get tickets for that at am660theanswer.com. And don't forget, a week from today, our pizza eating challenge will be there. Will you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.